Jesus said, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. At the time that I'm recording this, the church is celebrating this wonderful feast of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon Our Lady and the apostles. This is like the new birth of the church. The Holy Spirit gives the disciples of Christ a new life. It really lifts up the apostles to a new realm. We meditate upon this mystery in the third glorious mystery of the Rosary. And it truly is glorious, because it brings the church to a new level. It brings the apostles to this new level of serving Christ, even against all the odds. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Blessed Trinity, and he is a spirit of power. St. Paul says in one of his letters that the Holy Spirit is no cowardly spirit. He's a spirit of power. And we see this manifest in the lives of the apostles. The apostles were, at the time, quite fearful. They had seen their master suffer and die on the cross, and even though they believed that he would rise from the dead and witnessed him in resurrection, they didn't have that strength yet that they needed, that strength which Jesus promised he would send from the Father, that strength from on high, the strength of the Holy Spirit. They were afraid to be publicly known as servants of the Lord Jesus. Remember, Jesus was rejected. He was seen by the religious leaders and the political leaders of his time as a problem, as someone that must be done away with, must be ignored, must be treated with total disregard. And the apostles go through that same experience. They are going to experience the same rejection that Christ experienced. And this has left them with a kind of fear. And many people don't want the name of Christ spoken in the world, and the apostles, in a way, publicly don't want to be associated with this very difficult situation. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, it changes them. They go from being fearful men to brave men, men with backbones. They go from being men who are spineless to being men who are good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are going to face all kinds of difficulties and controversies and persecutions because of their devotion and service to the Lord Jesus, but it doesn't matter for them. The Spirit of Christ that comes upon them at Pentecost gives them an interior power. They're going to face things such as physical beatings, imprisonment, lies. They'll be lied about, they'll be betrayed, they'll experience the pain of people who pretended to be servants of Christ who were not. There's not just one Judas roaming around in the church, there were many, and there still are. And in the eyes of the world, the apostles are seen as problems to be dealt with. But you know, the apostles now know better. The Holy Spirit, the Counselor, has given them an interior wisdom, has shared with them the eternal wisdom of Christ. And they know who they are. They know that they are servants of the living God and that they are on the right side. Down through the ages, the Holy Spirit will inspire, will empower many people to be servants of Christ boldly. The saints, men and women who have served Christ, all in very difficult situations in the face of all kinds of trouble. It's a good idea to have a favorite saint, to study their life and try to imitate their living by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, Pentecost teaches us about the interior life of the church. It teaches us that there is an interior life to the church. Sometimes when we look at the Catholic Church, on the outside, it can look not too attractive. And if you really look at the history of the church, there's never been a time where everything has been great in the exterior life of the church. There's always been some difficulty, some challenge, some controversy, some persecution. But the interior life of the church, and this is the real interior life of the church, this is not the interior life of what's it like to live in a presbytery or religious community. The interior spiritual life of the church is beautiful and it's powerful. I'd like to take the example of stained glass windows in a church. If you look at them on the outside of a church, most of the times they look rather ugly, dark and dreary and unattractive. They almost look like they're a mistake in the architectural design of the church building. But on the inside of the church, when the sunlight is shining, they're beautiful. It's like they come alive, especially if they have images that you can clearly understand, like images of the saints with the life of Christ and Our Lady. And it's like an example of when we see the interior life of the church, we will see its beauty. If we look at the interior life of the church and all we think of is something negative, then we're not really looking at the interior of the church. The interior of the church is spiritual. And not just spiritual ambiguously, but it's spiritual with the power of the Holy Spirit. And in this way, it's beautiful. What is this? It's the life of grace, the life of truth. It's when we allow the gospel of our Lord Jesus to shape us. You know, sometimes, actually, more than just sometimes, I'll go to visit Catholics who are elderly or homebound or very sick or near death, and they'll receive the sacraments, and I see there the power of the Holy Spirit. I see they're living the interior life of the church. Exteriorly, it doesn't look like a good situation. They could be very sick, immobile or something. But their devotion to Christ, their obedience to Him, gives them an interior life that is really awesome. And it's really the life that we have to live. Now, to be real members of the church, we have to live by the Holy Spirit. Some people go to church a lot. Some people are priests, and they don't live by the Holy Spirit. They say one thing and do another. Or they appear to be holy, but they're not. They're living in sin. I once saw on Facebook an image of someone standing in a garage and standing in a church. And the saying was, standing in a garage does not make you a car, and standing in a church does not make you a Christian. Now, I'm not saying you should get out of the church, but I'm saying you got to live by the Holy Spirit to really be a true interior member of the church, someone who is part of the interior life of the church, that life of the Holy Spirit. It's not enough to say you're spiritual. You've got to really be spiritual by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't live by the Holy Spirit, then if your involvement in the church becomes hypocrisy. You're not living by grace. You're not living by the truth of the Holy Gospel, the teachings of the church. You're not living a truly spiritual life. Doesn't matter who you are, layperson, priest, bishop. If you're not living in the grace of the Lord, you're really not living within the church. You're inside the church building, but you're really on the outside. Even if you're involved in every possible activity in the church, your soul is like staying on the outside. It's not entering into that deep interior spiritual life of the church. We got to live by the Holy Spirit. And I want to say four things are necessary in order for us to be living by the Holy Spirit. Number one, you got to have faith. All right, you have to have faith. Begin with the creed. One of the things I like to do, in addition to saying the creed every day, either at Mass or with the rosary, is when I'm facing some challenge in my life and I don't really know what's going on, I'll recite the creed very prayerfully and slowly, and I'll let that remind me of the fullness of reality, the Blessed Trinity, the Incarnation, Christ, God becomes one of us in Christ, the wonder of redemption, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, the life of the church, life everlasting. That's reality. Reading the scriptures, especially the Gospels and the New Testament, studying the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Okay, you've got to have faith. It's got to be something that inspires you and drives you. Second, we need to have a sacramental rhythm of life. This means receiving the Eucharist often, going to confession regularly. Some people try to forget about these things, but in the sacraments we have the grace of Christ. Without the sacraments, without a regular sacramental rhythm of life, then we're kind of like spiritually dead. So you got to have faith. Without faith, you're lost. You need to have a sacramental rhythm of life. Without that, you don't have that interior strength. Thirdly, we need to have a morality. Morality that is based on the Ten Commandments. That's to begin with. If we don't know the Ten Commandments, then we're a little bit missing out on something. You should know the Ten Commandments. I should be able to interview you and ask you questions to name all the Ten Commandments, and you should get it. Practice memorizing the Ten Commandments. That's the basis of our morality. And we need to understand what they mean. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, there's a section on the Ten Commandments, and it goes to each of the Ten Commandments and explains what actions go against each of the commandments. We got to know this. Knowledge is power. Without this knowledge, we're going to be lost. Morality also is not about one opinion versus another. It's about living in the Holy Spirit. I should see that moral life is really not about towing a certain moral code. It's about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. If I follow the law of the Lord, I'm really living in His Holy Spirit. If I don't, I'm outside of His Spirit, and I could be in a very dangerous situation. And fourthly, we need prayer. Prayer is so, so important. Prayerfully reading the scriptures in something that we call Lectio Divina, praying the Rosary, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, the Stations of the Cross. There are so many traditional prayers, the various litanies. You know, I've done that many times when you ever come to a point where you feel like you can't pray? Maybe something's going on in your life and some people can be upset with God, even though if you think about it, you really should never be upset with the Lord. But, you know, human beings being weak human creatures, sometimes we get like that. Sometimes you feel you cannot pray or don't want to pray. Well, what I do then is I'll recite one of the litanies, the Litany of the Saints, the Litany of Our Lady, or something, the Litany of the Sacred Heart. They're long prayers, but it's prayer. And prayer opens your heart to the Holy Spirit. And you need silence in order to pray sometimes. If we have too much noise in our life, then we're going to be consumed by just all distractions. One of the gifts I feel from the traditional Latin Mass, which is now to be a regular part of the life of the church, is the silence in it. Most of the prayers are whispered, and there's a real time of silence where people are there just receiving the grace of the Lord. And I also like, on the other end of the spectrum, the gift of music. The gift of music to praise and worship the Lord. We had some friends here recently to play something. They had this group called Lift Ministries, and they used it to help us to really use all of our faculties to pray. And prayer is so important. Prayer is not part of your life. You're not living in the Holy Spirit. You got to have prayer. You need prayer. And don't ever say that you don't have enough time to pray. I remember one time a priest told me that he didn't have enough time to say his prayers. But then you found out that he had plenty of time to watch television, to read the newspapers, which actually I think is a waste of time. You have to have time to pray. If you don't have time, make time to pray, okay? You might have to give up doing something else in order to spend time in prayer. So those four things: faith, a sacramental rhythm of life, morality, and prayer. Those things give us the movements of our heart that lead us to to life in the Holy Spirit. Now, if you live by the Holy Spirit, then what happens to the church in the Acts of the Apostles will happen to you. Number one, you'll do great things for the Lord and His people. You will accomplish unimaginable things. I think of often in my own life that I really feel the power of the Holy Spirit because by nature, I want to hide from the whole world. I never want to speak in public. I want to be totally unknown. But through various means, I've been able to preach to people all over the world and build friendships with people all over the world that are real. And I feel this is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led the apostles to have that evangelical witness and power that makes it possible for you and I now, in 2015 and onward, to know Jesus Christ. You ever think about that? They had no internet, no Facebook, no telephone, no television, none of that communication stuff. And the apostles had this power in the face of tremendous opposition to evangelize the world, to lead people away from sin to the gospel of Christ. So that's one thing that's going to happen to us. We can do great things for the Lord. And this will begin in our local situation, in our parishes, in our families and communities. But the other thing that's going to happen to us is we're going to experience persecution. We will. All kinds of persecution. It may be martyrdom, which is happening now in many parts in the Catholic Church in the world. The 20th century and the 21st century is fast. The 20th century was one of the most bloody centuries with the area of martyrdom. And the 20th century is also shaping up to be that. It may be other forms of persecution. You might be lied about. St. John Vianney had his own brother priests lie about him because they were jealous of him because he was doing what they failed to do. He was evangelizing and catechizing his culture, which is what every Catholic priest is bound by divine mandate and his own promises to do. Well, you'll experience all kinds of persecution. People may lie about you. They may oppress you. They may tell you that you are a problem and you are to be ignored. Well, we just ignore all that because we're living by the Holy Spirit. Don't be discouraged. Do not be afraid. The Holy Spirit is with you. Now, one of the great things that we see in this is that when we do great things for the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit, and when we're persecuted because of our service to the Lord Jesus, what are we doing? We're living like Christ. That's what the church has to be. The church has to be like Christ in this world. And when the church isn't, when individual church members are not living by the Holy Spirit, the church becomes less like Lord Jesus and becomes more infiltrated by the spirit of the world, which is the devil. Remember this, nature abhors a vacuum. If you're not filled with the good spirit of Christ, another evil spirit can affect your life and can affect the church. And we see that in so many countries where people in the church are accepting things that are completely contrary to the teachings of our Lord and go against what's good for humanity. We can think of in Ireland, which was supposedly a great Catholic nation, evangelized by St. Patrick himself, and now they're absolutely confused about something as basic as marriage. And anyway, the point is, you got to live by the Holy Spirit. And when you're doing that, then the church is strong. There's one other lesson here that we learn from this, is that the kingdom of God is not of this world. Here is a good test. If in your witness to Christ, in your living of the Catholic faith, you're thinking about trying to be popular or accepted by everybody, and you just want to go with the flow of the majority around you, then you're not living by the Holy Spirit. The apostles always, at some point, were enduring some kind of contradiction, just like Jesus. Look at the life of Christ. He's contradicted right as soon as he comes into this world. He's homeless, he's poor, political refugee, he's suffering through his whole life, and he dies on a cross. apostles the same way. They're going to suffer all kinds of things. We cannot be interested in trying to please the world. We're here to please God. That's the mission that we have in the very brief life, brief time we have on this earth, is to live in a way pleasing to God. And we do that by living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus teaches us that he gives us his peace. And the Holy Spirit, the life of the Spirit, gives your soul peace. Even in the face of challenges, you have an interior peace that the world cannot give to you. One of my good friends, Father Sam Medley, was here recently, and he said that Lent was 40 days and Easter is 50 days. And it reminds us that the joy of the gospel is greater than the sorrows of this world. And so the peace of the Holy Spirit should make us smile. And that smile has to be born by our devotion to Christ. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with us. We got to remain with the Holy Spirit. Have that faith. Receive the sacraments regularly. Have a morality based on truth and on love, true love. Ten Commandments, the gospel teachings, teachings of the church. And pray, pray, pray. In this way, the Holy Spirit will fill you with his gifts, and through you will renew the face of the earth. God bless you.